This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Say yes to Pure Leaf tea and free gas for a year only at True North Convenience Stores. When it comes to quality, say yes to the delicious taste of real brewed Pure Leaf tea. True North stores are stocked with your favorite flavors like unsweetened, extra sweet, and raspberry. For a limited time, enter for a chance to win free gas for a year. Check the True Rewards app for details or download the mobile app from the Apple or Google Play stores. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that?
Yeah.
No hassle?
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
Wake up! Wake up! Mike Mulligan, David Haw.
The Cubs are still starving for runs.
The Cubs lost.
And it counts.
They can salvage the trip if they win tomorrow. Justin Steele on the mound. What the problem is that you go back to spring training, you go back to Arizona, and you're going to start the season 0-2.
Well, Edmund hits a high fly ball to left field. That ball is deep, back toward the wall, at the wall, and it is gone for a home run for Tommy Edmund. And the pitch to Kike Hernandez hit high in the air, deep left field. This is going to be trouble and long gone.
As Pearson delivers, and Ohtani swings and drives one in the air, deep right center field, leaping at the wall, Crow Armstrong, and it bangs off the wall. And this will be a double for Ohtani unless the umpires are now saying it's a home run for Shohei Ohtani.
And the pitch. Swinging a bouncing ball to the hole, it's short. The throw goes to first base, and it is in time. And the ball game is over. 6-3 on the final play, and the Dodgers win each of the first two games of the regular season.
Start your mornings with Mully and Haw, 5:30 till 10 a.m. on 670 The Score.
Fly the W.
Fly in the L.
Let's go.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio 670, The Score. Ah, swept in Japan. There's no way around it. They keep using the word sweep everywhere I look online. And David, the Cubs lost both of them.
Good morning, Mully. Yes, Wednesday starting a little bit later because the Cubs played on our airwaves and they lost again. So, Craig Counsell, please tell me, what is the Japanese word for flummoxed?
That's just baseball, unfortunately.
Look, bonding is great. Winning is better. The Cubs return home 0-2. That's disappointing.
And that's going to be a horrible flight home.
If it seemed like 14 hours was long going over, it's going to seem like a day and a half coming back.
I didn't want to call it a homecoming game, right? Because you got that feeling that it was it's the Dodgers. Look, it's Ohtani. Babe Ruth has returned to Japan. That's the story.
That's exactly what it was.
And you got brought in to be the team that would score four runs in two games.
You're the Washington Generals.
You were the Washington Generals.
You went into Ohtaniville.
That's all it was.
That's what it was. And they
gave him a home run. They
had his own rules. If John Birdie hits that ball, it's a double, a stand-up double. Ohtani hits it. Oh, let's give him a home run.
That's what happened.
Goodness sakes.
Let's go to New York and find out. Oh, well,
Kyle Tucker hit the wall in the ninth inning, too. Was that a homer? No.
Kyle Tucker with a hit. Come on.
He got a hit.
Dustin, he got a hit.
He got a hit. He's on the way.
Get on the bandwagon.
This is going to be like a good hour and a half of overreaction, and then we're going to settle down. We'll come back, and we find by the domestic opener, which is a good idea, by the way. Love the idea of a domestic opener right around 5 o'clock.
Oh.
I'll have an IPA and a domestic opener, please.
Yeah, there you go. Sounds like it. A domestic opener sounds like a kind of drink you have after our show's over.
Exactly.
10 a.m.
Listen,
well, it's time for the domestic opener.
I'm ready for that today.
I'm ready for one of those Rhinelanders that they got gifted
yesterday.
I'm ready
for one of your Rhinelanders. Where, get another case of beer. Do you have a listener bring in a case of beer today? Where's the audience anyway?
Yeah, we have no
Where's
audience.
Where's the Maddies?
Where's no the audience?
Where's the best corned beef hash David's ever had?
Oh, that was the best corned beef hash. It was. Let's reminisce about that because anything but the Cubs. Anything but the Cubs. Yesterday was a glorious breakfast, a brunch, if you will, with listeners. Thank you all for coming. And thank you, Manny's, for the food.
Thanks for the homecoming show. What?
This was a disappointment. Two days where it felt like we were watching the 163rd and 164th games of 2024 with the Cubs batters striking out, looking like they can't get on base.
Today, right?
21 in 2 days.
Yeah.
21 in 2 days. 12 today.
That's a lot.
I know it's the pitchers. I know it's the Dodgers.
And the Cubs also were walking people. 15 over the two games.
That's not good. We saw
8 today.
Ryan Pressly made his debut on cue.
Yeah.
Did he walk the bases loaded? It seemed like everything that could have gone wrong did. And, it's only one game. We can all agree on that. And we can debate how much it means. It means really very little over the course of 162 games. But if you miss the playoffs by a game, I'm coming back to March 18th. Or not 19th.
Honestly, that's exactly what you should do. We have a text here this morning.
Already?
Guy just says, I hate Rob Manfred. How do you start these games at 5 in the morning? I can't get up and watch the Cubs.
It's not the early start that is bothersome. I could get used to some of those things. But if you're going to start early, at least win once out of two games. Split. Go 500. Make it worth the trip and the effort and all of the experiences. Now it just seems like, boy, Craig Counsell can't get out of the country soon enough.
Yeah, you got 7 games this year against the Dodgers. Only 2 are at Wrigley Field. Not good.
Suddenly this seems like a bad idea.
Because these were their home games, so those count as Cubs home games, even though they were in Japan.
In all seriousness, this is what surprised me about today, one of the several things. Ohtani's home run, there was not a very good angle that we saw or had any sort of access to on the telecast.
You can't really argue it. Kyle Tucker, though, in real time, is pointing as the ball. The guy touched the ball.
It looked like the fan interfered.
Pointing at it while that's happening. He knew it right away.
And because it was called a home run on the field,
they couldn't change it.
They couldn't change it, to your point.
What do you think they're going to call on the field? Well, Ohtani hit it. He made contact.
Everyone's yelling.
It's a fly ball to second base, and everybody thinks it's going to be a homer. They're going to call it a home run.
It's Ohtani.
It's Ohtani. Again, if that were a Cub, if that was John Birdie, that would have been a ground rule double.
And that was the 6th run in a 6-3 victory. So it did not impact what happened in the game after that.
No,
right?
But I think
I'm just saying it.
Everyone counts.
It sounded like more
it
runs.
It just stings. It's just another part of the stinging.
Because
it's an underscoring, an underlining. It's a marker kind of highlighting of the fact that it was all about Ohtani.
It was the Ohtani homecoming tour.
Yes, it was.
And he got a hero's welcome, and he deserves it. He's the best player in the game.
Yes, he is.
And the sport, and one of the greatest ever.
50-50 club.
But if they were going do this, could
member.
They, next time, send the Brewers. Send the Brewers. Okay.
Well, I don't know if you guys got to hear, because we were on the air when this happened, if you went back, but one of the things that Jed told the guys on Marquee yesterday, that part of why this was a good thing is that this was like a recruiting trip for Japanese baseball players. Like, we're here, we support it, come play for us.
Yeah, which was why over the weekend, I think Craig Counsell made one of the Giants players that they played against sound really good in the postgame press conference. Maybe that was all part of the recruiting.
I found that very interesting
process.
So the recruiting process is, you know, if you're not a good Japanese player, we still have a place for you, see ya. Is that part of the message? You don't have to be Ohtani. If you're not Ohtani, come to us.
Still a lot of good players over there.
I know.
And the Cubs saw a couple of them on the mound for the Dodgers. Today, I don't think Sasaki was what he expected. He had a lot of anxiety and nerves that were obvious. He did not have command or composure. He walked five Cubs.
But they didn't really hurt him at all.
They didn't really hurt him at all because he only gave up one hit and only one run as a result of that. The Cubs failed to take advantage, 1-for-7 with runners in scoring position.
Crazy.
Again, that's a repeat of what happened last year.
Well, how about this? The 2, 3, and 4 hitters, Cubs lineup,
yeah,
2 days, 1-for-22.
I'm glad you mentioned that.
And that was Tucker in the ninth.
I'm glad you mentioned that. 1-for-22, and that was the only hit that Tucker got in the ninth inning off the wall. Second day in a row. While we're going, we're reacting.
Okay.
Second day in a row. You pinch hit for your fourth hitter.
Yeah.
If your cleanup hitter is going to be Michael Busch, you shouldn't pinch hit for him 2 days in a row.
Yeah.
If that is the case, move him down in the lineup because I know the left-hander's on the mound, but if he's your cleanup hitter, he can handle lefties or should be able to, right?
That's a good point.
Justin Turner is here for a reason. I like it. $6 million. I like Justin Turner on the bench, but are you going to pinch hit for Michael Busch whenever he's facing a tough lefty? No, you can't do that.
2-for-2 they did it.
Don't bat him fourth then.
Interesting.
And the guy who had the best spring training, while we're going full Dustin on you, the guy who had the best spring training at the plate didn't take his bat off his shoulder because it wasn't in the box. Gage Workman didn't have an at bat. 2 games.
But
why do you make the trip?
How do you take Birdie out when he, what did he go 3-for-4?
I don't know.
Three of the Cubs' 8 hits, John Birdie. And I will openly admit, when I saw the lineup, I shook my head and could not believe that Birdie was back in there batting ninth, and he made Council look smart.
Your designated hitter was your designated striker outer today. Wow. 3 times for Seiya. Gage Workman would have been a better option.
It's hard to bench him. It's hard. I mean, first of all,
I'm just saying.
Clearly in a slump, right? Can we just? No, I'm just doing.
Could
the
Could you imagine if they had pinch hit for him?
Oh, I can imagine. International incident again. Yes. You have to be very respectful of all the things, and I respect that.
Yeah.
Cubs wouldn't have been invited back.
I've watched Shogun. I understand the culture.
I would have been okay with Matt Shaw having maybe taking a seat for an at bat if Gage Workman would have been a better option, even in the ninth inning, perhaps. You want to get – it's a tough balance to strike. Give your rookie third baseman all the opportunities to come through early, or go with the guy that's got the hottest bat in spring training, which is why he's on the trip.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I don't know that he's going to make the roster the way they didn't play him.
But he was on the roster today.
But they didn't play him.
He flew 14 hours for that.
He gets
and especially, I mean, Shaw made the final out of the game.
I hope he liked the food.
Right? Now, he played great defense. I do want to give him some credit. He played great defense. Shaw had a couple of two really nice plays.
Yeah, stellar.
But when you get to the bottom of the ninth and you're down three, you're not worrying about him going back out there to play defense. You need to put – and there were people on base.
Yep.
There were people on base. I mean, that to me, that's the spot where you can
second
guess
Craig
Counsell.
There were two people on base. You're down 3 runs. You could
change it up a little bit.
Big at bat. He made the last out of the game, but it was a nice play by the shortstop. It was a nice play in the hole, and he almost beat it out. There was no challenge.
Brujan got to run. You know, at least Brujan got to pinch run. Again, why did you bring that guy with?
Well, to pinch run. Gage Workman didn't even get to do that. I think he's the only Cub player that didn't play. I don't know. I just was very surprised, was waiting for him to get up there to see what he's got because he had a good spring, and this is still an extended spring, and these games count, though. The Cubs return to Arizona for spring training action this weekend on the score.
Yeah, how are they going to do in the exhibition games? What? I would hope they'd come home and just sleep for a couple days and recover from
They hopefully
that
will
was.
Recover. But and they will bounce back from this somehow, but this will be one of those trips now that feels like it will provide a crutch, a basis for if they start slow. Well, they never really got over the jet lag or really messed up their body clocks for a month. Don't really want to hear that.
No.
And don't really want that to happen. You don't want to bother the Dodgers.
No. No, I mean, again, it's a 14-hour flight home. They're doing it right away, right? They're not going to mess around.
I mean, they're already like probably, yeah, they're probably taking off now.
Air. Okay, that's good.
Tokyo airspace as we speak.
And so they get back here. Well, they don't get back here. They get back to Mesa, Arizona. And then does everyone have their own digs or is the team putting them up? It doesn't matter. But wherever they are, they're going to be there for a while because they got it. Enough time to recover, and then you have four games across
town.
Well,
I imagine once they land in Arizona, they go back into their spring training routine until March 27th, a week from tomorrow. It is domestic opening day. White Sox against the Angels at the rate, and the Cubs in Phoenix against the Diamondbacks. Oh, boy, that'll be easy. Let's go face Corbin Burns. Okay. Good luck with that.
Yeah, they don't come back to Chicago till April 4th.
Home opener. So three openers. Actually, they're going to be part of four because aren't they the lid lifter for the Sacramento A's?
Correct. They're only going by the A's, by the way. We learned that yesterday. They're only the A's.
Well, the A's, whatever.
Oh, really?
Whatever. I mean, David, really, you're a stickler on this kind of stuff.
I said Sacramento A's to give people a sense of reference that they're playing in Sacramento this year. But the A's.
In the standings, they're listed as the A's.
Okay. Are the Cubs listed as the Chicago Cubs? I don't know.
They're definitely not. Well, you know, they're not the Japanese Cubs, that's for sure.
Man, and did
you
notice that? Just one more thing, crossing the T's this morning, aren't we?
One more thing right off the bat. Funny. Did you notice when we were listening to Pat, Ron, and Zach?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
But when you were looking at the televisions, looking at the monitors, uh-huh. did you notice something? Did something stand out to either one of
I'm
you?
I'm seeing something now. It's giving me PTSD. Kerry Wood and Mark Pryor. Sorry.
That is so strange.
Yikes.
So we talked quite a bit about this yesterday, and rightfully so. These were Cub home games.
Yeah.
So
uh-huh.
Did you know what were the Cubs wearing today?
Well, that's a good question. It was pointed out.
Are we trying? Is it all about swag?
Hold on.
I mean, we're just trying to sell.
This
stuff?
Is about swag. Yes. It is. It's a merchandising tour.
You answered your own question.
They agreed to wear one of each jersey for two games because
you could
give people
flavor.
Yes. On display. You talked about it being a recruiting trip. This is part of the recruiting.
Yeah.
Hey, look how well dressed they are on the road. Yeah, right.
How would you look in pinstripes?
See?
Give me a break.
You got it.
But I mean, seriously.
You got it.
The Dodgers sign Ohtani and they're paying him all this money and it's a lot of it is not immediate, so they can sign everyone. But they also said that there are so many corporate deals and there's so much money coming into them from Japan that the contract really isn't as bad as it sounds because mm-hmm. they've got everybody because Japan belongs to Ohtani. He's Babe Ruth. He's like this legend. So what you did is you went there, you tried to sell some of your gear, but everybody in town's got his stuff, right? So you might be able to recruit some players and you might get people who are close, but Ohtani is the story of this trip.
Plus, after they struck out 21 times in 2 days and walked 15 batters for the Dodgers, the last thing I'm thinking is, boy, they were not dressed for success.
The only thing I'm thinking is, boy, it's a pity they don't have Ohtani. Because then it would be...
Set everybody
Cubs,
in the
Cubs,
majors.
Cubs. Exactly.
But they do have King Tuck. Kyle Tucker.
You are out of your head.
They did finally walk Ohtani, by the way.
Yeah. Right. After walking the ninth hitter 4 times in 2 days. That was ridiculous. So ridiculous. I mean, there's so much to get triggered
Listen,
by.
Listen, there's a lot that went wrong.
Yes, I know.
I don't think anybody is going to argue that. But it is two games during training camp. And I'm not – the counts of the standings – the whole thing is absurd, and you're right.
We'll get over it. We'll get past it.
You had to get up at 5 in the morning to watch the game.
I hear you. Everybody
I'm talking
did.
To everybody that did it.
Okay.
Congratulations. But it also – It wasn't like they moved the games to 5 o'clock so everybody could enjoy them. This was all about selling gear, recruiting, whatever you want to call it. It was a homecoming trip where you watched the great Ohtani and he hit a home run.
It was about the Cubs bonding. It was not about the Cubs winning. Let's hope that they bonded well and then they can commiserate on the long flight home and get something out of this trip except for... Yeah, they had a great time, it looked like. They had some great events. I'm sure they ate well. I'm sure they slept well. Bill Murray was there telling jokes. A lot of great Cub fans in the Tokyo Dome. Marquee shined. Marquee Sports Network did a terrific job.
No question.
And so there are a lot of things that are away from the standings. The score did a terrific job, and it was great to hear baseball on our airwaves again, baseball that matters. They returned home 0-2, and you're like, wow.
Mitch was there at like 2 in the morning.
At Wrigley?
Yeah.
Well, I think it's cool that Pat and Ron talked about seeing many nights the sun setting at Wrigley Field, and they were able to see the sun rising. Kuhn was also hilarious about Matt Shaw's first hit. Matt Shaw's first hit came after a should have been an error, and it was clearly an error, and it bounced off Sasaki's glove, I believe. And this is what Ron Coomer had to say about Matt Shaw's first hit. We don't have it yet. Okay, we'll get to that. But Ron Coomer was funny. It was like if he were a player and that was your first major league hit, he would call the press box, he would call the official scorer and complain and say, no, that was an error. I want to remember my first hit for the rest of my career being like a line drive to center or something, or a home run or a double.
See, I mean, that is like saying, let's just say that Ovechkin has an open net and he scores the goal that breaks the record. What does he take that shot does he pass
it? You take it 100 times.
You take it 100 times. So if the scorer says that you got a hit, you take it and you run like a thief in the night.
Yes, you do. Yeah.
Because you got a hit.
More with Coomer. It was embarrassing. It was embarrassing.
There's nothing embarrassing about getting on first.
It won't look embarrassing in the box score.
It won't be. And it won't be embarrassing in 10 years when he remembers his first major league hit was in Japan.
Exactly.
It was the best thing that came out of this two games. Matt Shaw finally is on the board. He's not going to be 0-40 to begin his major league career.
So Rhino. There were three guys yesterday that were 0-4. It was Shaw, 0-4, with a couple of fielding issues, right? An error. And he had two strikeouts, I think. You had Seiya, who was 0-4, didn't really do anything. And you had King Tuck. So Matt Shaw's got a hit, King Tuck's got a hit, right? They came back. They bounced back. Seiya doesn't have a hit, but that's okay. He's still Seiya Suzuki.
What does that mean exactly? He's batting second in your batting order as your designated hitter after three whiffs today.
Yep.
So
how many is that in 2 days? It's a lot. It's too many.
Well, he struck out three times today, and he's still hitless for the season. Yeah. And in the opener, well, let's see, he also batted second, and he only struck out once.
Okay.
Four strikeouts in 2 days.
That's okay.
It's not okay. It's not okay.
It's in spring training. Oh, no, wait. That was the count.
Swanson needs to be moved up in the order.
He did. He did well.
Yeah, that's the guy who's coming on.
Dansby Swanson.
Starting strong.
Good for him. Good for him.
The Dodgers just keep on. I mean, it's unfair how many weapons they have.
Pity the Cubs don't have Ohtani. That's the only thing you can say about those two games.
No, it was a pity that the Cubs didn't play by Ohtani rules. Hit the wall, call it a homer.
Wow.
Give him the benefit of the doubt.
Wow, we are really complaining about
home
stuff.
Home field advantage.
Yeah, it's our home field. You're not supposed to give him a home run.
That's a home field advantage for Ohtani.
I thought the Cubs were the home team.
Are we going to do the pick six at 9?
We're going to do the pick six. We'll do that next. It's Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 6-7 to the score.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Take me out to the ball game.
What are you doing?
Did you know DirecTV has the most MLB games?
So you're singing.
Yeah, they put your favorite teams front and center right when you turn it on. Buy me some cold cuts and flapjacks.
Those aren't even the words.
I'm allergic to peanuts.
Stream DirecTV, home of the most MLB games. Visit DirecTV.com. Claim based on total games offered on national and regional sports networks. RSNs available with choice package or higher. Availability of RSNs varies by zip code and package.
The PGA Tour is all systems go, and so is the new show, Early Wedge, on the CBS Sports Podcast Network. Join Sportsline experts Sia Nejad, Mike McClure, and Eric Cohen, alongside myself, Rick Gaiman, Patrick McDonald, and Jason Sobel. Five times per week, the Early Wedge provides the best information for DFS lineups, outright selections, and so much more. Follow and listen to Early Wedge in the Early Edge feed on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's Pick Six with Mully and Haw, where we debate the top six sports stories of the day and then open it up to you, the Chicago sports fan. Call us at 312-644-6767, or you can tweet your thoughts at Mully Haw. Pick Six with Mully and Haw starts now.
This hour brought to you by Menards. Save big money at Menards. So after the Cubs head home from Japan, following the first two games, how do we feel about the trip overall? Was it worth all the bonding? Do you think overall it will go down as a good or a bad idea?
I think it will go down as a bad idea. I think that the two games that they lost, had they split, I'd feel differently. But the very fact that they went there and lost two games makes it not a bonding experience, but sort of a little bit of a waste of time, if you will. Now they come home and they got not enough time really to get ready. They should be okay, but I would have preferred if they didn't make the trip, if that makes sense. You know, you could never do that in the middle of a season, but you're going to do it to start a season just so people... You could have just said there were exhibition games, and then you could start a season and move on in life, but they didn't want to do it that way, so... Who am I to complain? I'm sure that it helped them grow the game in Japan if that's what they're after. It might get them more players, etc. So good for baseball, bad for the Cubs. And you're back in training camp. What's Nico's status? They need him. I think we learned that.
He'll be back. On this trip. Birdie was good today, though.
Get him going.
Yeah.
I'm just saying, I am not certain as to whether or not this is going to damage them. How they're going to recover from it. But I know this, if they come back to Wrigley Field and they've lost a lot of games, I think we're all going to feel like this was one of the dumber things that ever happened.
We will indeed think that way. Yesterday we talked about where we were with our win total. I think I'm down to 80. Okay, I mean, in all honesty, I mean, again, the 2, 3, and the 4 hitters,
yeah, it's
one for 22, okay. Right? Two, three, and four, one for 22.
I can't do this.
Can't do what?
No, keep going.
No, I mean, let's just hope. Again, I brought it up yesterday, and I think I'm trying to confirm it. I heard that Cody Bellinger even backed up what I said. Like, the trip to London absolutely messed them up, and let's hope that this isn't messed up right from Jump Street.
Right. When I say I can't do this, I mean, I had those reactions in our first segment. This is the way I feel about it, these two games now, because I think there's a lot of things that are frustrating.
Yep.
And I am overreacting, admittedly overreacting, to baseball finally arriving and seeing the Cubs look like last year's version and was all disappointing. And I asked, what is the Japanese word for flummoxed or frustrated? Okay? We're entitled to that because this was disappointing, fully disappointing. But, and there's a big but. Couple deep breaths during the break, a good night's sleep once they get back. This does not have to define your season, and I don't think it will. This was bigger than baseball. This really was bigger than baseball. This trip, when they look back, will be worth all of the effort, all of the expense, all of the 14-hour flights and 20 hours coming back or whatever it happens to be. This was a trip where you grew the game. You experience things you never would before in your life if you're the Cubs, and you look at it as it was a bonding experience. These players will never have anything else happen in their lives as unique as what they just experienced, in all likelihood. So, from that standpoint, it was very good for the Cubs. It was very hard for Cub fans. Somewhere along the lines, we'll look back and they'll think, well, remember those frustrating moments on that Thursday, or Today's Wednesday. I'm sorry.
Yeah, who knows?
That Wednesday in March when Dustin said they'd win 80 games.
We're lost in translation, too.
It's a great question.
That's the voice of Zach Zabin. He's going to join us before 10 o'clock here with the Mully and Haw Show. In retrospect, should Jamison Tyone and Matthew Boyd been left off the 26-man roster, eligible for players to play against the Dodgers, if the plan was to piggyback your top two starters? Why would you next best two starters inactive? Is that a fair to second-guess the manager?
Absolutely, it's fair to second-guess. Now, this is what I don't understand, and this is where the part that's fair game, to be frustrated. If your plan was to piggyback yesterday and today, Justin Steele needed a piggyback ride off the mound. I mean, he was not sharp.
No.
If that was your plan all along, Craig Counsell, I don't understand using Boyd and Tyone on the weekend. And I don't accept Bruce's explanation about having stretched out. Isn't it stretching them out, using them, giving an extra day? They could have pitched Tuesday and Wednesday rather than Saturday and Sunday.
Yeah.
Help me understand that, Dustin. I don't understand it, because if you're going to use your best guys in the series against the best team in baseball, why were Matthew Boyd and Jameson Taillon not available to you? Doesn't make any sense in the world. We're talking about how many batters they walked. That would not have been the case, I'm pretty confident in saying, if you had Boyd and Taillon to go to after your starters.
It would have been nice. I mean, that still doesn't solve the 2-3-4 hitters going 1-for-22, obviously. But it would have been nice to see. I mean, these are big moments. And again, Ben Brown, it feels like the Dodgers took this as a business trip and the Cubs went there as tourists. That's how I feel right now.
That's good. That's a good way of expressing it. I got to say that Shota pitched well. That's all I'm going to say about how the pitching went. And they used, what, six pitchers today?
They used six today, yep.
Yeah.
Four innings, though.
I know. That he pitched well. That's my point. They needed better pitching. Listen, they lost the game because they couldn't really score runs. You're not going to win a ton of games when you score four runs in two games. But I think that they gave up runs. I think that if they had better pitching, then obviously, and if those are better pitchers, then you could have gone four innings with somebody else and not given up runs. So the problem is, as Dustin said, they can bond over the fact that they have no timely hitting. They can bond over the fact that they leave runners in scoring position. They can bond over the fact that they struck out a lot over two games. I don't know that that's great. You're right. Great experiences. You're seeing something you're not used to. But I don't know that this helps them in the season. And the manager probably made an error by the choices he made, because they didn't pitch sharp, period, end of story, other than Shota.
That's another really good question.
Any idea why the White Sox are reluctant to name their rotation spots outside of the opening day starter right now, who is Sean Burke? This is from Will Venable. Quote, part of it is the continuing to figure out where we are at, and just strategically, we probably aren't going to announce until we get closer.
I think they've got some problems. I think that Jonathan Cannon would have been the opening day starter if he had been better in spring training, and he wasn't. He's, what has he got, like an 11.4 ERA in the games that he's pitched this far?
Yeah.
That's
Cannon
no
misfiring.
Cannon misfiring sounds like a problem. We know who the pitchers are. And they just haven't told you in what order they're going to them, because they're not quite sure. I would imagine.
So he made the team?
That Martin Perez is the next guy. I think he's got to.
Does Jonathan Cannon make the team?
I think he's probably their third starter. I don't know. But you know, they've tried tons of guys. Like that Nick Nastrini is out of the picture. They got a lot of guys that they rolled in last year that are out of the picture now. Mm-hmm. And the guys that are the best are down in Birmingham. They got three guys probably in that group that might have to move up faster than you need to move people. It's a problem. But they don't have a professional pitching staff is why they're not naming who's starting when. But we know the first four pitchers. It's not any kind of mystery. But the idea that you don't want to line them up, that tells me maybe they're waiting to see if Drew Thorpe, you know, can get ready in time and could be part of the rotation. They do not have a lot of professional pitching. That's the problem.
Didn't they come out and tell us that it's going to be some combination of these four guys at least,
yes,
right? So
we know they are.
I don't want to be a hypocrite here in my answer. Oh, a Cub fan. As a Cub fan this morning, obviously, I have my own problems right now, right? I mean, right now the Cubs are on pace to break the Sox record of last year of futility, right? Okay. But the other part is, if the Cubs were in a normal spring training situation, I think they'd still be playing games with us too. They wouldn't even have told us that Justin Steele or whoever was starting. I don't want to give the White Sox a hard time here, because I don't think the Cubs would have let us know what was going on at this point either, had things been exactly the same at this point in Arizona for them.
And frankly, in my opinion, doesn't matter. I think we always make a big deal about the opening day starter. It always amuses me because it is only one start. Sean Burke will get the nod on opening day. He'll make history. It'll be his fifth major league appearance. And,
wow.
And there's all kinds of inexperience in play. Maybe he'll have some anxiety on the south side. I hope he does well because he has come on. But after that, I'm not sure that it matters what order they go in. And if Jonathan Cannon is here, and I think that we have every reason to believe he will, even though we had a bad spring, then he still can wipe out the spring and try to start again and fresh and new. That's the beauty of opening day. That's the beauty of the beginning of a season. You have five guys, and I hope Drew Thorpe is one of those five eventually that you feel like are going to be professional representatives of a major league staff. I'm more concerned about what their infield is going to look like. There's a story in the Sun-Times this morning. Who's at shortstop? Good question. Who's going to play third? Do you trust Vargas? Oh, by the way, how does that affect second base? Second, third, and short. Wow.
It's a lot.
There's a lot of guys who are very anonymous and unproven.
And there's a lot of people that don't like the first baseman.
A lot of people that don't like the first baseman. I know. I'm not giving up on Andrew Vaughn yet, though. I still think that he has redeemable qualities, and I'm not saying that he is a guy that is going to continue to be a disappointment. But I do think it's a fair question about the rotation. I hope that Drew Thorpe gets healthy, and I hope that these guys at the minors, the Birmingham Project, come up quick.
Oh, my God, the Birmingham Project.
You know, I knew that question would come up.
Too soon.
Does the fact that former second-round pick wide receiver Rondale Moore visited Hallis Hall on Monday indicate to you that the Bears want more speed and yak in their receiving room? How about Mecole Hardman? Are they hunting returns? Is it about the players or the increased speed? What do you believe they're looking for?
They're looking for specifically somebody to take the top off of defense, like they don't have. The Bears really don't have a speed guy. Mecole Hardman signed with the Packers. Yeah. Congratulations.
Yeah.
Good luck with Jordan Love. I think that when you – he'll be fine. But he was an intriguing possibility because of he did return punts and kickoffs with the Chiefs at one point in his career, maybe not as big of a part of it now. They're looking for a speed guy and a return guy. Rondale Moore missed last season with a knee injury. But if he's healthy, he's dangerous.
4.29.
I like what he did with the Cardinals at times. I like what he did at Purdue in college football. Boy, was that guy exciting. And if he can recapture some of that, he could be, in Bears fans' context, you remember what Tariq Cohen looked like at times? Rondale Moore is a version of that. He's a smallish guy.
Yep.
He's hard to catch. He also can be very elusive. And if he can be a deep threat, great. They need a deep threat. Whether it's fitting the deeper in the draft or somebody who's still on the street as a free agent, that's what they're looking for, and Ben Johnson knows what he wants.
They are apparently looking for speed, and also they're really big on no block, no rock. Okay, so if you're not going to be part of the running game and the blocking game, then you're not getting the rock.
I love that.
So no block, no rock.
I love it.
Yeah, they're hunting speed, and if they got a returner, that'd be great. What they're looking for is Velus Jones, only a guy that can hold on to the ball. They're looking for a guy that could be a weapon on offense and could return something, and they're taking their time doing it. I think it's interesting only because if we get to a point where they don't sign anyone, they're going into the draft, we know that they'll be looking for that later in the draft. So that's kind of the key being, you know, you bring guys in, you talk to them. They didn't sign either guy. And then, as you say, Aardman goes to the Packers and signs. So, you know, it's just a question of what you want. They got three receivers. They're looking for a guy, as you say, take the top off the defense, maybe be able to run a few plays in the slot. Somebody that has some yak to them, there's no doubt. I think you just look at Detroit and how they put the receivers together, and that is a clue. And so I find it interesting only in terms of how it impacts the latter part of the draft, because I think the top of it is a little bit different.
What kind of question is that?
You know that guy's voice, don't you? Aaron Rodgers, after Tom Pelissero reported the Vikings are out on Aaron Rodgers, and Steelers captain Cam Hayward sounded anything but eager to welcome old A-Rod.
Are you going to be off the grid for a little bit, go to the darkness and try to get this guy? We need you. You're our best recruiter. I'm about to get to Darius Slay, and it sounds like you recruited him too. So we need you to start recruiting. Get that NIL bag out like you did at Ohio State.
I ain't doing that darkness retreat. I don't need any of that crap. Like, either you want to be a Pittsburgh Steeler or you don't. That's simple. That's the pitch. Like, if you want me to recruit, that's the recruiting pitch. You know, Pittsburgh Steelers, if you want to be part of it, so be it. If you don't, no skin on my back.
The Not Just Football podcast, thanks to them for the use of the audio. What's next for the Diva QB? A giant leap? How about the Browns?
I got to tell you, that's like the greatest news ever to hear that he's not going to Minnesota. I hated that idea. I think that Kevin O'Connell's a really good coach. I love that they are doing the whole JJ or bust thing. I like it. That's what they should do. They didn't keep the guy that lost the last two games, never mind the guy that won all the other games. And that's kind of what they're thinking. So, JJ, let's hope he's healthy. As I sit here right now, David, I need a lot of MRIs. One of them I need on JJ. I need to look at it. I need one on Cooper Flag. I got to look at that one.
I've been sitting next to you for a long time. If the Bears had invested this much hope in a quarterback who had a second procedure in November to address swelling in his right knee after he had surgery for a torn meniscus, you would be ripping them and questioning and doubting every single move. And I'd be right there with you in lockstep.
He's had two surgeries. I just don't want to see Aaron Rodgers in the division.
I know. That's it.
That's it, right? I'm delighted by it.
Sorry.
I mean, now that Aaron Rodgers is not going to the Vikings, I don't care. I don't care where he ends up. And I think any organization at this point, and I it's almost why I kind of wanted him to go to the Vikings, in all honesty. I think you are at this point doing a disservice to your entire organization. And you just heard a good guy, Cam Hayward, spell it out for you.
Yeah.
You are bringing this guy into your building, and any culture that you may have, he is going to destroy it.
The standard is the standard in Pittsburgh. I love what Cam Hayward had to say.
I like it.
No, thank you, Mr. Darkness Retreat. We have seen the light, and Mike Tomlin wants no part of you. Maybe that's the case. I don't know. Until it happens, it doesn't happen, and maybe it will. I'm intrigued by the Vikings' decision here. I really am, because it's a lot of hope and faith, and there's some doubt surrounding the health of J.J. McCarthy, not as a quarterback, but just as him, his ability to stay on the field. If he stays on the field, I'm confident he's going to be an excellent NFL quarterback. I just hope he stays on the field. As for Aaron Rodgers, I'm big Jay Cutler, going full Jay Cutler on you right here. Don't care.
This will be a pick six. There's your ball game.
As the tournament action heats up, College Hoops coverage on The Score. It's brought to you by Bet365. Bet365. Can you please give us three or four opening round upsets for the NCAA tournament as people put their final touches on their brackets? Which teams do you recommend they keep an eye on, and which matchups offer the best value?
Well, it was great last night when the tournament started for real, and Alabama State delivered on March Madness. The tournament started for real on Tuesday night. Good for Alabama State and North Carolina. The tournament started for real. Now, as far as upsets in the first round, I'm looking at Akron, possibly. I think possibly over Arizona. Drake.
I got Drake, buddy.
Drake is a good double-digit one. VCU and Vandy. Those are the four double-digit seeds if you want to look at possible upsets and maybe underdogs could be offer some really good value. And other than that, it's pretty chalky tournament. It's a pretty chalky Final Four.
Circus Sports Illinois and us here at The Score invite you to kick off the start of the March College Hoops with Matt Spiegel and Mark Rohde Friday, 2 to 6, real-time sports over in Elk Grove Village. Enjoy every single game, specials on buckets of Miller Lite, Coors Light, and more real-time sports. It's all sponsored by Circus Sports Illinois, sports betting the way it should be. David, I have come around. I agree the tournament started last night. We had our first clip that will definitely be part of one shining moment. Okay, we almost had a Christian Laettner type play.
Yes. Late right? to the court.
From Alabama State. And for winning that game, they are now going to take on Auburn. And per our friends over at Circus Sports Illinois, are a 31-point dog to Auburn on Thursday afternoon.
You came around?
Huh? I've come around. And this also is going to lead me to the clearest answer to this question. After seeing North Carolina put up 90, we're up 40-plus at one point. Not only did North Carolina deserve to be in this tournament? North Carolina is going to make it to the second weekend of this tournament.
I know.
Because a former guest of this show and a guest that was on this station earlier referred to Ole Miss as trash. Okay? He referred to them as, so North Carolina is going to beat the trashy team Ole Miss, and then they're going to beat Iowa State, who's minus their star player, but then lose to Michigan State. So North Carolina, I don't know if you'd consider BYU or Gonzaga. I think those are two teams that can actually move. I mean, Gonzaga could really blow up everybody's bracket, by the way, if they were able to knock off the number one seed Houston Cougars. So keep an eye on BYU and Gonzaga. Not double digits, but North Carolina playing in the Sweet 16, everybody.
Still don't have many many quad one wins. That's not one of them. I'm going VCU. I'm going Drake. I like Yale. I think they're going to outthink Texas A&M.
This year's Princeton.
And here you go. You want a huge upset?
Huge upset. Yep. Give me a huge upset.
Keep an eye on High Point
for
your beloved Purdue.
Oh, no.
High Point.
They're going to derail the Boilers?
Can you believe it? They've won 29 games.
High Point.
Yep.
What? That would definitely be the peak of their season.
All right, that's the Pick 6, 312-644-6767. We're going to bring in Zach next. We get a chance to talk to our guy as he finishes up his time in Japan. We'll get all the insight and all the meaning of everything that happened, and we'll get that from Zach Zaidman next. Mullion on the Score.
Zach Zaidman.
We're live on the radio.
Delivering the best calls of Cubs and DePaul game.
And Ohtani swings and drives one in the air. Deep right center field. Bangs off the wall. Umpires are now saying it's a home run. A home run for Shohei Ohtani.
Former Bears radio sideline reporter.
Down here with Jay Cutler. What were you guys trying to do on that play to Martellus Bennett?
I'm trying to score.
A man with a great head of hair.
And what color would your hair be, Zach?
Luscious red locks, Pat. Thank you so much for asking. It's real and it's spectacular. Some would refer to it as Syracuse orange.
Zach Zaidman.
The ginger hair genius. He was a hit yesterday, right, guys?
With Mully and Haw on 670 The Score.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score. Here he is, the man himself, Mr. Zach Zaidman, joins us now on The Score Hotline, the Aturo Tire Hotline. Aturo, new tires for spring. You can get them at aturo.com. Zach, you are an international hit, buddy. You were fantastic. And we loved hearing you. Congratulations.
Mike, David, good morning. You know, as they say in Japan, Ohio, it means good morning. And it is a pleasure to be on with you two.
All right, Zach, help us put all this in perspective. Cubs start 0-2, struck out way too many times in two games, walked way too many batters for two games, 15 walks by Cub pitchers, 21 Ks by Cub hitters. Where are we to go from here, and what are we to make of this?
Doesn't it seem like we've seen the type of game the Cubs have played the last couple of days 250 times over the last 3 years?
Yes.
It's been part of the issue. Don't overreact after two games. But the goal is to not have long stretches of this type of stuff as you had last year and the year before that. So hopefully with some of the changes that they've made, they'll be able to shorten some of these offensive issues. Bottom line is this. You're 2 through 5 hitters, and we have a segment during Cubs Radio called the meat of the order, right? So that's Seiya Suzuki, Kyle Tucker, Michael Busch, Matt Shaw. In this series, went 2 for 31 in the two games with one RBI. Got to be better than that if you expect to win. But keep in mind, the Dodgers are the world champs. They have great pitching, and usually good pitching beats good hitting, and that's what transpired over the last couple of days.
Yeah, there is no doubt that they ran into problems because the Dodgers are awful good. And really, you know, when you award a home run to a guy who hits a double because he's Babe Ruth, you just have to go along with it, right? How
yeah,
did they have no
run.
Cameras? I know, and it was over. That was the last run. Nonetheless, it was weird to see that they had no angles at all. I mean, there was nothing there like you'd see in a major league ballpark.
Yeah. Imagine trying to call that one off a monitor and you see Shohei Ohtani hitting the ball and you know he's crushed it. And then the next shot immediately after that is a close-up of Shohei Ohtani's face as opposed to where the ball actually ended up. And then at the last second, all of a sudden you see PCA leaping up in the air.
Yeah.
And you have to wait for a split second because anytime PCA is doing anything, there's a chance he's going to complete the play. Then you see the ball bang off of something. You assume it's the wall. Shohei thought it was a double, right? And then the umpires decide, whatever. It's... That was the least of the Cubs' problems over the last couple of days.
Level of concern over Justin Steele. Wasn't sharp and he had the illness in spring training, and I think we're waiting for him to get sharp, but it is early.
Let me reverse it. Are you worried about Justin Steele?
Well, Zach, you know, it's kind of our obligation to overreact to everything after two games, but I think there's a level of concern. Yeah, I think maybe a little bit. I want him to be ace caliber Justin Steele. I don't know we've seen him be ace caliber anything in the spring training.
I think that you can worry about spring training. I'll worry about the regular season, and I think over the course over the course of his Cubs career, I don't think there's been a more consistent player on the Cubs during the time that Justin Steele has been a Cub than Justin Steele. Would you not agree with me?
Fair point. Yes.
So that's why I'm not worried about him. Again, the offense is a concern because you made all these moves, right? You add Kyle Tucker to the mix. Everyone's excited about Matt Shaw. And you'd like to see the offense not look like the stuff that scared the daylights out of you over the last couple of years. But again, it's the Dodgers. They can hit reset for a little more than a week before the regular season resumes March 27th in Arizona. But that brings up another point. Cubs have a really difficult schedule the first month of the season. You got the Dodgers. They'll be finished with the Dodgers by the end of April. And you also take on the Diamondbacks, who have upgraded significantly. The Padres are in the mix as well. Going to be a tough stretch. You'll know a lot about the Cubs from an offensive standpoint by the end of the first month of the season. And it sounds weird saying it because, again, I know that the last couple of years, the kind of games that we saw from an offensive standpoint from the Cubs over these two games scares you. But hopefully you don't see this streak go for a week, 2 weeks, 3 weeks in a row, and they're able, because of some of the additions they made this offseason, to nip that in the bud quickly.
The Cubs gave up Cam Smith, who is apparently on a Hall of Fame track. They gave up one-time All-Star Isak Paredes, and they gave up 27-year-old Hayden Wesneski for a single year of Kyle Tucker. How is that year going to go? And I mean, I know he had a bad spring, and he hit the wall today.
He had the Ohtani homer today.
He had the Ohtani.
He hit the home.
If,
he hit the ball.
If Ohtani hit that, they'd have called it a homer. But it's just not enough. And I was expecting more timely hitting. I thought he'd have a really big game today because he was 0-for-4 yesterday.
Yeah, Cubs went 1-for-7 with runners in scoring position in each of these two games against the Dodgers. I think if you look at Kyle Tucker's career, all he's done is hit, right? All he's done is hit. Even when he's been banged up, he missed 3 months last season with a fractured shin, and he still hit 23 home runs. So when he's out there, history tells you he's going to be good. I imagine he's going to continue to be good before all is said and done. Do not overreact to two games against the best team in baseball.
All right, Zach, let's flip the script quickly. What is your final four? How good is St. John's?
I think St. John's is really, really good, and I think St. John's can win it all if two things happen. One, the officials let him play, because in the Big East, they let you play, and it's a very physical league.
That's a great point.
Then you watch some of the other leagues, and the officiating isn't the same. So if the Johnnies get into foul trouble, that changes the dynamic. Right. But they've got everything that you generally look at and say, that those are the ingredients of a team that can make the Final Four and win a championship. They've got one of the best coaches, not just in college basketball today, but of all time, in Rick Pitino. They are loaded defensively. I've said this to you guys before. When St. John's is on the floor, it seems like you're going up against six defenders, not five. They're that long. I think they're stronger than most teams. I think they're better defensively than most teams, and they're better conditioned than most teams. That's tough to overcome. So even though they don't hit the three on a consistent basis, although it has been better lately, I think they've got the kind of stuff that gives you a difficult time to score. Now, Florida is in there. Yes. So that, and Florida's really good, but again, I'm going to go with the stronger defensive team over the stronger offensive team. I like St. John's an awful lot. In terms of this mix. And I like Duke an awful lot. You know, we spent so much time talking about the SEC, but I think the two very best teams in the country may be Duke and St. John's before all is said and done.
Yeah, I like Florida, but I think what you're saying about St. John's is right. I think the problem for St. John's, they don't hit the three. We know that. They don't hit their free throws. Like, they could, at the end of a game, clank a couple of those and be in trouble.
Yeah, they could. I do think, though, they've hit their three-pointers lately, down the stretch in the Big East tournament. If they can keep that going in the NCAA tournament. Like, for example, this upcoming weekend, I don't think St. John's is going to have any difficulty. It's after that where you start to wonder, is the three-point shooting going to become an issue when you start facing some of the top-tier teams in this tournament?
Last thing, Zach, if you were Matt Shaw, would you have called the scorer and asked him to reverse your first major league hit to an error as Ron Coomer vehemently wanted him to?
It's going to be a weird highlight, right?
Yeah, it's funny.
It was a one-hop bouncer right back to the pitcher, and he just couldn't squeeze it correctly. Dreyer was the pitcher for the Dodgers, and the ball squirts off to the third base side of the mound. I mean, they ruled it a hit, but I think even the official scorer, I think if you watch that again, would say, come on, that's a play you got to make. I don't think, though, that Matt Shaw is going to listen to Ron Coomer and make a call to have that.
It reverse. Counts.
Zach, get home quick because you're doing games, right? Saturday, Sunday, Monday, you and Coom will be on doing all the Cubs Cactus League finishing.
Yeah, spring training resumes, at least on the score, Saturday against the Rockies. And then the Cubs, at the beginning of next week, have that two-game series against the Braves. A good tune-up as they get ready to face the Arizona Diamondbacks in Phoenix in the domestic opener on March 22nd.
Great stuff, Zach.
You're the best, buddy. Thank you.
Take it easy, guys.
And we should also let everyone know that not only can you listen to hear the Cubs and hear Zach, but you can meet Dustin Rhodes on Saturday. How about this?
Sounds like a treat.
He is, Ian, the 670 The Score crew will be out this Saturday from 2 to 4 p.m. at AT&T in Oak Lawn. Dustin headlines the event, but there's more. You stop by, enter for a chance to win tickets to see the Bulls take on the Lakers on March 27th. Plus, you get to meet Chicago legend Will Perdue. Dustin will be with Will and the Incredibles Entertainment Squad. This is going to be a party. That's Saturday from 2 to 4 at AT&T in Oak Lawn. It's at 5251 West 95th Street.
And if you have a collared shirt, Dustin will sign your autograph.
He will. If you have a shirt from any of the five schools he went to, he will happily sign.
No logos. No logos. Collared shirt, signed autograph.
No logos. You signed that. And no one wants to see your feet. So make sure.
I think it'll be cold enough. I don't think people should be wearing flip-flops or sandals.
No slides.
Yeah, and it's not a good look to wear socks with slides either for those of you that
know. Yeah. Okay.
It's good.
All right. Can't wait for that.
Yeah.
It's a lot of fun.
It's a lot of fun. Make sure you get there. Transition on 670 The Score, brought to you by Webb Hyundai in Highland or Merrillville, Indiana. Get the vehicle you deserve at the payment you want at Webb Hyundai, and we will do Transition next. Mully and Haw on The Score.
Hashtag capture the flag.
Now we're in a transition a little bit.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score. We, of course, broadcast live from the Score's Hyundai Studios, brought to you by your Hyundai dealers. Want to thank them. Want to thank Matt and Aya for getting us twitching this morning. And I want to thank the Cubs for letting us have like an extra couple of hours.
That was nice. Thank you, Jed Hoyer.
Yeah.
Tom Ricketts and company.
It's a pity that things didn't go better.
Can they do the domestic opener at 5 a.m. too?
Appreciate it. Yeah, those are good. That's a good time. We should move some games to 5 a.m.
No.
Yeah,
like,
I think everyone would
between
be better
5 and
off.
10? Yeah. It'd be great.
They wouldn't have the beer sales, but maybe they would.
Maybe they would. Bloody Marys.
We want to thank everyone for calling and texting and emailing.
Most of all, thank you for listening on this Wednesday, March 19th.
And thanks to our executive producer. Wow. Dustin Rhodes, what a man. What a job he does.
Seconds left, and here we go. This is where dreams are made.
We're going for it all.
Simpson home run play, the deflection. Oh! The layup! 0.7 seconds left. Alabama State in front.
How about that? That turned Dustin's mind.
Can I just mark the occasion?
Yes.
Did that turn Dustin's mind, or did we turn Dustin's mind?
Well, you want to say you turned
his
mind. Yes,
I'm going to take credit for that.
But
the tournament started last night.
I think that play, it made him acknowledge, yes, the tournament started last night.
That play, after months of coercion, yes, the tournament started last night. What a highlight.
Yeah, and the
great moment.
And the North Carolina, their legitimacy tour began last night, too.
Nobody enjoyed that more than Bubba Cunningham.
Let's also thank our guy. He is Brandon Fryer, does an unbelievable job. He does the job of five men, and he runs around and does everything. It's incredible to watch.
You know, as they say in Japan, Ohio, it means good morning.
Zach was
on. Hey, it's a Layla.
Wednesday.
Is it? Thursday, you said?
It seems like Thursday.
It's a Layla Wednesday. Yeah. Get on board for big fun. She's here. And Marshall Harris, look at him. He's beautiful. Going to get a suit today. Come on, everybody.
Happy to be here. Happy to suit up.
We are happy you're here.
Happy to relieve you of your short shift. I can't believe they gave you the shaft and only let you guys be on it.
We're going to keep talking in another room. We don't know what to do with ourselves.
This afternoon show has a good man. The shorty, they know how to schedule it, don't they?
How often do you get a shorty?
You guys finally get one.
This is the first time ever. Yeah.
Oh.
I came in this morning. I was here on time. I'm watching a game. The games are getting, I'm like, yeah. I went into Mitch's office. I sat down, and next thing you know, Mitch is like coming in. Mitch comes in. I hear something. I slept through two innings. I completely went out while watching that game.
So did the Cup
hitters.
Yeah.
Well, better than yesterday.
Oh, yeah, I suppose.
They had only three hits yesterday, right?
I got my David Hall workout in this morning, minus the running. And I was like, all right, I was listening to the first hour of the game. And then I went home, watched highlights that I missed.
What does that mean?
Watched the rest.
The David Hall workout minus the running.
Yeah,
I can't run.
You didn't run.
I didn't run. Minus the running.
Okay.
Yeah,
so then you did nothing.
You did that.
No, he pumps iron and then he runs.
Oh, okay. That's
yeah.
Me pump iron, then run.
He's our own resident Arnold Schwarzenegger.
I thought you made a joke about him running and that was the joke. Was that you didn't work out?
Marshall was up early.
I like getting up early, and we'll see how that serves me. As I just found out, it's going to rain later, and I did not bring my umbrella, so we'll see how I sort that out. If it rains before, say 2:30, 3, that's going to be bad.
Dangerous. I woke up at 4. Why?
Why?
I don't know.
What time did you go to bed? Is the better question.
Midnight.
Yeah, that's not it.
You really haven't had enough sleep. I'm going to say that.
No, and I meant to go to sleep earlier. I just had a friend from the West Coast call, so we were talking, and, you know, next thing you know.
What you guys were saying about Dustin, so he didn't believe the tournament started last night?
Right.
He doesn't believe he in the early games.
He vehemently insisted before today that the play-in round was not actually the NCAA tournament. Those four teams didn't really make the tournament.
Did you tell them the stats count as NCAA tournament wins, games, all that stuff?
Logic really doesn't have a place in many of these arguments with Dustin.
It's like just like you have the final four, now you have the opposite. You have the first four. You have the opening round. They're not playing games.
He only cares about the 64.
Okay.
If you don't, once you get to the 64, then you're in the tournament.
I call it the play-in. Similar
that's
to
not NBA.
Unless one of the teams involved was one of the five he attended during his college years.
Yes, then it would be.
tell Shaka Smart and VCU that it doesn't count. Like, what are we
Thank
talking
you.
About here?
Yes, they count.
Dustin also has the Cubs now, what, at 80 wins now?
80 wins.
Yeah.
His win total
what was the original win total?
92.
92.
Yeah. A 12-win difference?
Yeah. Well, they,
92 is
it dropped
bold.
Below 90 yesterday, didn't it?
He can't imagine them going 92-68.
The exchange rate.
If they somehow get swept in Arizona, it's going to be in the 60s.
They might because Arizona's
schedule,
really good.
That's how he rolls.
The exchange rate for Dustin is like one Japanese loss equals three American losses.
I think one Dodgers loss equals you guys are getting put on notice. Like that's the team.
But that
man.
Wasn't a home run.
That
was not a home run, though. Come on.
He broke the plane of the field of
David,
play.
David, he's a 50-50.
That wasn't
David,
a home run.
David.
What?
It was a home run.
No, it was a fan. It's like
the trajectory of the ball.
Jeffrey
pointing
Mayer.
At like, the fan.
The definition.
The minute it happened.
The definition of spectator interference per the MLB glossary.
Mm-hmm. What's it say?
When a spectator clearly prevents a fielder from catching a fly ball by reaching onto the field of play, the batter should be ruled out. But no interference is called if a spectator comes in contact with a batted or thrown ball without reaching onto the field of play, even if a fielder may have caught the ball had the spectator not been there. But there was a reach. There was a reach, and they broke the perimeter.
Yeah. Well, so how would you interpret that? It was
fan interference.
I couldn't tell from the replay that the fan touched the ball in the field of play, though. That was the issue.
Yes, when you go over the wall,
can you imagine?
And that's
it looked
the
like the trajectory of the ball was going to take it past the fence. Again, if they had called it a home run on the field, it would have stood as a home run on the field.
But can you imagine that fan? If they would have, if he would have prevented
denied Ohtani
a home run, the shame. And he would have been escorted out, faced a lifetime full of... you just would
a
not...
lifetime.
But we don't know if that was an American
know,
or a Japanese.
It doesn't appear that that rule exists in Japan, perhaps.
Because they don't have angles. They don't have any camera angles.
No, but I think it was the...
you would think in Japan you'd have better camera angles.
But as a crowd member, you know not to do that because of that reason, typically. So I don't know if they have that rule there.
Well, it was the sixth run of the game, and they lost 6-3. It wasn't like... That was the
every
home
round,
run.
Every
that,
run counts, though.
But it wasn't the
changes
game
the
deciding play.
And maybe Matt Shaw wouldn't have had the pressure of hitting a three-run home run. He's like, if I can just get something to the gap, I can get a two-run double
well,
to tie
PCA
this game.
Well, PCA also tried to lift it up and,
listen, man,
and hit a
I'll say this.
Fly.
Unlike yesterday, today, both these teams had opportunities. One team took advantage of mistakes and bad pitching. The other team did not.
I don't see Seiya Suzuki contributing today or yesterday.
Ooh.
I'm just calling it like I see it, guys. I mean, I'm not the one paying him that contract.
And we're watching some of the replay here, and you see Sasaki on the mound. He looks so young.
He's 23.
It's like they took him out after the third inning because he was out past curfew.
He's 23. What do you want him to look like?
He's so like wispy.
He's all arms and legs.
He's 23 going on 14, Marshall. He looks really young and wispy.
All right, we'll see if he sells that when he wins Rookie of the Year. I'll be like, hey, remember when you were talking about how young he looks and didn't look like
Chris Sale has made a good living also being slender and pitching for a long time.
But Chris Sale looks a little rugged.
So did Randy Johnson.
Now?
This guy's not shaving for 3 years.
He'll come at you with scissors if you misfit his suit.
I don't know if he's ever shaved, to be honest.
Probably not.
But he's 23, so I assume that he has.
Did not have command. They should have taken advantage. They didn't.
How are you going to handle it? You've got a whole show.
Man, we're going to talk about a lot about the Cubs. I can tell you that.
Okay, show off.
I will explain. Yeah, exactly. We got a lot of show. You didn't. I get it. I get it, Mully.
No, we're going to talk about the Cubs, specifically that Ohtani home run, giving you a little piece of it there. But wait till you hear what Craig Counsell had to say about that and also the performance of one Matt Shaw. Maddie Lee joins us at 10:25 because she's staying up late to talk a little Cubs with us. Mike Florio joins us to talk the Bears and the NFL at 11. Also, of course, high noon, Mark Grody will join us at noon. We will talk about North Carolina, the Bulls, the play-in or the non-play-in, whatever you guys want to call it. We got some sound from Joe Tooney that we haven't heard on Caleb Williams and, you know, how maybe he can be helped because of the Brady Mahomes connection that he's had in the past. Plus, we will talk Aaron Rodgers, what's next for him and the team that decided they are out on Aaron. That's all coming up.
Love it.
Have a great show.
All right, guys.